Good evening, everyone, from Grace Ranch. Tonight, in addition to worship, we have Phil and Paul live from South Carolina with us tonight. So praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Father, we thank you for bringing us here together again this evening. And one of the things I just pray, Lord, is that you would help each of us to gain a vision of what it is for us to walk in that new life that you have for us. And that you give us that strength and that courage to leave behind the old. May your word just come forth that will strengthen us this night, and may we receive it and digest it by faith that we may go for it and do it. And these things I ask in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Oh,
Praise the Lord. I believe we have Paul there now. Hopefully he's not being messed up by the delay.
I've heard the rumor that that was Gehaz, but if indeed I am actually on, praise God for the opportunity and the privilege of being able to speak on his behalf. It humbles me. I've been thinking in recent days when I heard going through Romans, behold, therefore, the goodness and the severity of God on them which fell, severity, but toward thee, goodness, if thou continue in his goodness. Otherwise, thou also shall be cut off. That's a threat and a promise that I don't want to be part of. But the first part of it is, behold the goodness and the severity. I understand the goodness. I have partaken of the goodness. I have to speak about the goodness of the severity that the scripture testifies. Those in Israel, when God had had enough of them, he cut off. And he, what does it say? Let me see if I can find it. Well, I thought I had called it up here, but it is in Romans 11. And let me see if I can yet find that. According as it is written, God hath given them the spirit of slumber, that eyes that they should not see and ears that they should not hear unto this day. To those in the would-be church that calls itself by his name, that's fixing to come on to you. Just as it came on Israel. Now, there were odds and ends people that managed to escape that slumber. But as a whole, the nation of Israel was in a sleep and could not see and could not hear. I don't want to be part of that. That's not something we want to be a part of. We want to be a part of the ministration of the goodness of the Lord. And we are a bunch who have seen the goodness of the Lord. It has been our privilege to see people raised from the dead. It's been our privilege to be partakers of those who have been healed over and over again. It's been our privilege to see the Lord move dynamically and powerfully in people's lives. That is what we're called to walk as Jesus walked. His goodness is our first experience with his goodness is in testimony of his word. But as we see the testimony of his word, we start seeing where he has impacted our lives with his goodness. And his goodness ends up being that is abundantly above that which we could ask or think. That's how good his goodness is. It is my desire that everybody know and partake of that goodness. the severity of God, why he ended up having to cut off Israel. That was not the ultimate severity. The ultimate severity was he had to put all that sin on his son. And he spared not his son for our benefit. And it doesn't get any better in the good department than that, because while we were yet his sinners and the enemies of God, he sacrificed his son for us. Romans 8:32, he that spared not his only son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? That is the goodness of the God we serve. That is the goodness of the God I pursue. That is the reason that I keep on keeping on. Because he is that good. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. He's been like that. He was like that 2,000 years ago. He's like that now. He will be like that 2,000 years from now. He doesn't vary. He doesn't turn. That is how he is. That is our God. As I'm looking to find the last couple of scriptures, this is the other good thing that he is for us. I beseech you, brethren, mark them. Mark them which walk so as ye have us for an example. An example. And we have been given an example of how to walk. Because that goodness of the Lord has given us those in the line of authority over us. He has shown his love and his commitment to us. And in the exercise of patience, and I just think of myself as an example, I don't know that I would have ever paid as much attention to me as Davy paid to me, for reasons I have or was totally clueless about for many years. The amount of time and the amount of patience, the amount of dedication to the work of the Lord was yet, you know, I still don't understand what. Why he did that. But I praise God that he did. And, you know, the thing is, I see the operation of love, 1 Corinthians 13, in the exercise of patience, Romans 5 and James 1. The patience is just an unmovable devotion to the cause of the purpose for which you've been called. And that patience, that devotion to the cause for which I am employed, is that which has worked in my life and in others' lives and has brought forth somebody who can be profitable for the gospel. That is love expressed and manifest in our lives. There have been people who the Lord has set over us who love us first before themselves and have given us an opportunity to advance and to express manifest the love and the patience and the incredible opportunity that Lord our God has given us. How can we not, with power and manifold agreement, express this to other people until however long it takes them to get it? It is the best news we have ever heard. It doesn't get any better than this. It will change your life and will give an opportunity for somebody else to change their life. Because our Lord, our Father, is the Father of lights, with whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. That's the best news there has ever been. That Lord and God that was with David, that was with Moses, that was with Abraham, he is with us. Grab on. He's got his hand outstretched. Take it and come on. Let's go. Let's go. I'm done.
Praise the Lord. I understand, Paul, that Brother Phil is there with you.
Yes, he is.
Praise God. Bring him on up.
He's picking up the mic now.
Am I ready to go?
You're there.
Okay. Well, praise the Lord. Yeah, you hit on a few things there, Paul, that there's a couple things that, well, a few things. I mean, not just a couple of things, but this morning I was reading in Joshua 1, and I know Steve had talked about that earlier, but I was going over it with my girls, and in Joshua 1:5, and this was the Lord talking with Joshua at this time, and it says, "There shall not..." Joshua 1:5, "There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Be strong and of a good courage." And you know, that promise that was to Joshua is just as available to us now. And just going back and, like you said, just reaching out and grabbing it. You know, I remember a service, and this stuck with me at that one of the Tuesday nights men's Bible study, and it says the Lord is at hand. He is as available to you or in closest to you as your hand. And with that being said, and with that being the case, what have we to fear going forward? Nothing. Nothing at all. And some of the things that you were talking about reminds me of Romans 12. It's very different coming after you. I actually like it, Paul. but Romans 12. And I'm going to go ahead and turn to that. And in the midst of me turning to that, I remember, and I know, as you were sharing there, as you were talking about Davy being long-suffering for you.
Yeah, absolutely.
Being long-suffering there for you. And I know, if it wasn't for people being long-suffering for me, I would not be where I'm at today. And that was them willing to lay down their life to show me the love of God. the love of Christ, that agape love of Christ. And the point of us going forward and coming to these meetings and learning his ways is that we lay down our lives so that his love can shine forth unto others and have that same opportunity that we had. But if we're too prideful, if we're too selfish, if we're too rebellious, how is anybody going to know that love of Christ? Now, I don't care what it's been up to this point, because the Lord is awesome at redeeming the time.
Yeah.
He has done time and time and time again in my life, and in y'all's life here listening as well. And he can make some of our biggest screw-ups to glorify him. He's bigger than we are.
Yes, bigger than our mistakes.
And when you turn unto the Lord, it's always above you can ask or think.
Exceedingly abundantly above. Amen.
And with the Lord, it's yes and amen. There is no wrong turning to the Lord.
No.
And I haven't got to Romans 12 yet, but praise God.
I thought you were turning. You said I
was turning there. I got
sidetracked.
Sidetrack on talking. All right, let's see here. I know it's in here. I had it marked on my finger. All right, no, it's before that. All right, praise God. All right, here we go. So, Romans chapter 12, it says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Which is your reasonable service. And I look around, and I can look around and just see the grace and the mercy that has been extended unto me as well as unto others.
Yes.
And the long suffering that the Lord had took with me. And the long suffering that he took with others. How can we but not yet lay down our lives to go forward and serve him? For others. You know, I know James was talking about the other night, that those that are pure in heart shall see God. He's reading in Matthew there. Yet having experienced the love of Christ, having his grace and mercy manifold unto us, having yet his hand out and his hand out and his hand out to us, yet are we going to turn around and do the same likewise? Are we willing to do whatever it takes for the person next to you?
We're willing to live with it not being about us.
And Paul's saying, you're saying us being willing to live with it not being about us. Oh, your mic's on?
Yeah.
Oh, praise God. I did not know. Oh. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God.
That's a praise God. That means we're not going to stay this way. It's going to get better for us. Because if we commit to him, he's going to show us how to be more like him. And less like ourselves. That's good news.
Amen. And there's a...
He's not hiding from it.
No, he's not. And this is the point, and this is the stepping out of faith in the midst of these things. I remember, Steve was talking about how, he's talking about Moses. Well, what do I do when I get to Egypt? Well, you don't have to worry about what you're going to do when you get to Egypt. Just go to Egypt. That's all you got to concern yourself with. And it's that stepping out in faith that where it says, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. You know, the good thing is look, man, all I have to do is just choose to lay down my life, lay down this old carnal man, and let the Lord do his work in me. Because by my own doing, I can't change.
And that's where the warfare is in the mind. It needs to be renewed. We need it to be regenerated. It is the place where the battle is. It's in our mind where we're in bondage. It's in our mind. We have accepted it, and it's the only living we've known. And if we can have that pulled out of the way and have our minds transformed and renewed, then that's where life and the abundance of that life that Jesus promised us, that's where it is. That's where it is.
Amen. And the Lord just honors a willing mind. I mean, in the sense of you just go and you choose down and you just choose to lay down your life and put him first and put others before yourself. And when you're all about going out and pleasing him, he's going to meet you. He's going to meet you in word and deed. And it's going to be abundantly above you can ask or think. Once again, in ministering unto others. And that's the greatest joy you can ever have. Ever have. And then that's where you go into that be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Because
why
you're not...
You prove it? By what you do. What you do proves what is the perfect will of God. That's the opportunity to be able to do that. Is better than I could have ever thought or have ever dreamed of. But it is available to those who choose to serve him.
Amen. Amen. And so just as the Lord told Joshua, but be strong and of a good courage, we need to be strong and of a good courage in his grace, in his mercy, and in his promise.
Amen.
Not presumptuously.
Amen.
But because of what the Lord has promised and what his love is about. And he will meet you there every time.
Amen.
Because he's good.
Father of lights. Doesn't get any better than that.
So as we go forward and we learn these things, let's go out and be strong and of a good courage.
And trust him.
Be strong and of good courage and trust him. And let him transform you and go forward in what he has, not what we have.
Amen.
Laying all that down, because what we have is nothing. It's garbage. Amen. It's filthy rags. Ready to be burned up. But what he has is eternal. And he doesn't hold back. All right, I'm done.
Amen.
Well, praise the Lord. It was a privilege to be here with you guys tonight. You could hear, even though there are only two of them gathered, what's it say? Where two or more are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst of them. We got to hang out in their church tonight. Amen.
Amen.
May the Lord bless you guys. We got another song here. Give the Lord a cheer. Praise God. Well, you guys may be seated. I shouldn't be too long. But I want to continue in Romans 12 there. Let me see if I can find it in this bigger print Bible. You know, we've been seeing all week here something that's right here in Romans 12 where those guys were. And I don't want you to miss it. I'll get there. You know, first of all, I want to just hit back on the verse Paul started with, which is 11:22. Where he says, "Behold, therefore, the goodness and severity of God. On them which fell, severity, but toward thee, goodness. If thou continue in his goodness, otherwise thou shalt be cut off." And that point is a critical one. See, it's so easy to take it for granted. It's very easy to take it for granted. And when we take it for granted, then we don't go forward and do likewise. And that's one of the points we've been talking about. Now, I want to go down here on Romans 12. And he talked about, which is your reasonable service, presenting your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And if you do that, as Phil and Paul were talking about, you're going to come to that place where you, that's each of you, everybody here listening, may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. That's an awesome promise for us, that we can actually ourselves walk it out so that other people know what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Because people don't know it out here. And we have to show it to them. It was shown unto us. We have to show it unto them. But I want to continue on. "For I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think." This is that whole point we've been dealing with about putting off that pride. "But to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith." There's one measure. See, Brother Richard doesn't have a different measure than you. Now, when you realize that, and you recognize, and you accept that responsibility of believing likewise, now your life begins to be transformed. Just believing that, well, he does it, therefore it's real, doesn't transform your mind. What transforms your mind is when you see yourself and you see where you are and you go, "What? You know what? He's been telling me for 20, 10, 5, 38, however many years it is, that I can do likewise. When am I going to believe that and step out in it?" Now let's look at how that looks, because it doesn't mean in the end that everybody is going to mimic, if you will, Richard's ministry. For example, Paul is a pastor down in South Carolina. Paul has been a great blessing to you folks in South Carolina. I've heard many of you testifying while you've here about, notwithstanding difficulties that Paul may have and different things that are going on, how his continuous testimony of the goodness of God has been critical to you hanging in there through your own trials and tribulations and the like, right? Well, let's watch this. It says, you know, "But to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office." In other words, not every member has the same occupation, if you will. You know, when you look at our natural bodies, each part of our body performs a different function. Every function of our body is important, right? And so none of us, I mean, Brad, I know you know probably more than any of us in many ways what it's like. I actually watch this sometimes. I mean, just something as simple as eating. I take certain things for granted. I have two hands with which to eat. So I can use the fork as my shovel and the knife as my backstop, which to a guy who eats like me, it's a very nice way to, for my two hands to work together. And when I watch myself chase around a plate if I only got one of them, trying to get that little piece of food in there. And Brad understands more than that. I watch as he puts different attachments on the different things so he can do different functions. And it's not the same as it was when you had both. And it's a constant reminder, I'm sure, at some level of those difficulties. Well, that's the same here in a body. Each of us have a job to perform. And when we fail to walk in and perform that job, the body suffers and does not experience the fullness of the blessing that the body of Christ is to be one to another. So let's continue on. So we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. And one of the elements of that, everyone members one of another, is that if I want to experience the fullness of the body of Christ, I need you, and likewise you need me. We actually all need one another in that capacity in order to experience the fullness of God's love and provision for each of us. And he goes on, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us. And that grace that is given to us, what's amazing about that is he is talking about power, position, authority, all of these different things. But it's all by grace. It's not like anybody is deserving of any particular thing. I mean, and when you realize that, and you realize that the ones who you are marking have to walk it out by grace just like you do, and they're no different than you are. They have the same frailties, all the same issues that you have, but they've learned to stand strong in that grace that is in Christ Jesus, so that they're in samples to you that you can likewise step out. That's what that's about. And it goes on. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity, he that ruleth with diligence, he that sheweth mercy with cheerfulness. Let love be without dissimulation, abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good. Now, that last verse there is really a critical one for us. I mean, each of those leading up to it. We have Phil, who's an evangelist, Paul, who's a pastor. And you watch as they work in tandem together to minister unto you, and as they did tonight. It was kind of funny. I could just imagine, I mean, Paul like pushing Phil out of the way to get his other word in. He had something else. Phil, you said that. I got to tell you this now. But that's because there was good stuff to share. And neither was offended at the other. All right? But all were blessed by them joining together. And that's how it's supposed to work, folks. All right? That was them waiting on their ministry. Remember over in Ephesians 4:11-13, in verse 12, it talks about, you know, for the perfecting of the saints, talking about the three jobs, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. The work of the ministry there is done by the evangelists and the pastors. We got to observe it in action tonight. Praise God. It was part of their reasonable service unto the Lord, and each of us were blessed by that. See, it's not rocket science here, folks. We've seen it every time somebody has gotten up here to speak. Every time there's been something that they have served up that has been good and that has blessed us. But that part about there, you know, let love be without dissimulation, abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good. See, agape love in contrast to philios love, because it's not tied to what others do unto you. You can minister that love without dissimulation. You mean you don't have to prefer one before another. Now, the way in which that love may manifest to one versus another may be different because the person's in a different place. Brad likes to come up here and tell how when he walks in the door, Davey and I box his ears or something like that, I think is what he was saying the other night. But I've seen a change in Brad this week. And I've seen a change in Brad over the successive years of coming. And I know when we, last year at this convention, I had a kind of a tough conversation with Brad, and then he, Davey, and I had a conversation. And one of the things that was a blessing to me out of it was a hard conversation, and honestly, I wasn't exactly looking forward to go find Brad and take a walk with him and talk with him about these things. But Brad still remembered that conversation this year. You know, I mean, how many conversations have you had in your life that you remember? They're like pivotal in your life and your walk for the Lord. They're not always easy. They're not always easy. But you recognize their pivotalness. And I know this week there's been some more there with Brad and with others who are here. And they're there because of the goodness of God. And because of the desire that he doesn't want anyone to fall behind in any good thing that he has for him. He wants each of us to succeed. That's what he wants. And then that part about abhor that which is evil and cleave to that which is good. This is a subject that we'll probably touch on again this week. But that's really critical. That's that aspect of being separate. You know, if you look at Brother Richard, you look at Paul, you look at Jesus, you look at the great cloud of witnesses we have in the Scripture, they had to experience some tough things. They saw God move in extraordinary ways. They saw whole armies come out to try and kill one man and be defeated. That was Elisha, that was David, that was many others. They experienced many very difficult things, and the reason why they did is because they abhorred that which was evil and cleaved to that which is good. And because they were willing to do that, the truth in its pure, no shadow of turning light, that is God, and that is his gospel, was made manifest for all to see. And that part of being separate in that instance is one of the chief reasons why we follow their faith and we heed their counsel. Because a lot of times it's quite uncomfortable to do that, and we don't even realize that uncomfortableness that we're experiencing is actually our love of self rather than love of others. We don't even realize it. And in some ways, it's all right that we don't realize it. That's why they tell us. You follow what I'm saying? But the key then is that you get over yourself and the fact that you didn't see it and these different things. And you do in accordance with that counsel. I was using the example earlier today of Robin within her own children and what she did. And I know James is coming and being an ordained minister was the first fruit of that decision. He was the first fruit of that decision. He's not the only fruit. The fruit of James and Rose coming together and Lydia are all a fruit of that decision. And I'm just speaking of it in the sense of the remarkableness of a woman standing in that place. But it's one of the reasons why God gives women a head. All right? Melanie, what happened with you is you chose to stand with your head and your life has changed as a consequence. You know, you may not have liked me too much, but you love that guy over there. But the fact of the matter is, when she chose to join him, everything else fell into place. Phil and Hope, people remember, some years ago, Hope's family in different ways had some struggles with her, and Hope was kind of beholden. Here she was married to Phil, but she was beholden to them. And Phil would not stand for it because they were wrong. He chose rather to abhor that which is evil and cleave to that which is good. And he wasn't liked for that. And when his wife chose to stand with him, I know every single one of us who, I don't know Hope as well as you folks down in South Carolina, but Hope has always been a blessing to me. I mean, she's always been a blessing to me. I mean, I don't know what Hope was like before. All I know is that Hope is a blessing to me. When we were here a couple years ago and Hope went out with all the children, you may remember, and took care of all the children. And that was more than the children we have here tonight, or maybe not because Scott wasn't here with his brood, but we had a lot of them nonetheless. But she did that, and she was the perfect person to do that. And she allowed every other parent in this place to partake, and she then received from her own husband later, said she would not be lacking in anything. See, this is our reasonable service, folks. That was Hope's reasonable service and a blessing. And it all began in each of those instances with people choosing to abhor that which is evil and cleave unto that which was good. And in each instance, the blessings of God followed. And that's what we have to now choose. And that line of authority is critical to showing you those lines when you don't see them. It's really what it is. It's critical to showing you those lines when you don't see them. And they're going to be contrary to you. I get that. We actually get that it's contrary to you. You know why? Because it was completely contrary to me when I first saw it. And it was shocking to me to see the blessing that came from it. But because I both saw it and then experienced it, I can now tell you about it, that you can enjoy likewise the blessing that comes from that. And that's what we have to do if we're going to prove that which is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. We have to hate, abhor that which is evil, and cleave unto that which is good. And when we do that, the rest of what it goes through here will come to pass. And I'll just read them real quick to you because you may not read them given how tired we've been, and we'll stop there. It says, be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor, preferring one another. That means your brethren come before any other person. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer, distributing to the necessity of saints, given to hospitality. Bless them which persecute you, bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. This just described our reasonable service, folks. And all of us can do each of these things. We can do it. Let's do it. Amen.
Oh,
I hope when we sing these songs, you hear them as your own prayers unto the Lord. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
That was awesome. That was an awesome medley. Praise God. You guys got any more, or is that it for tonight? Well, praise the Lord. That was an awesome medley. And those promises were there for all of us, like low-hanging fruit. Low-hanging fruit, folks. That's what's here today. Let's take it and go forward in it. Amen? May the Lord bless you, folks, and we'll be back here tomorrow morning. And for those who are here local, we've got the after meeting over in the camp kitchen. God bless.